Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July 19th, 2018, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're going to be on page 85. We'll be focusing our study today on paragraph 1, which starts with, "It is easy to let up on," and ends with, "It is a proper use of the will." Today's readers are the 12 steps, Stephanie F., the 12 traditions, Valerie B., and reading the text today would be Marie J. and Liz T. Thank you so much. The reference numbers, and I call them share ID numbers according to the phone, for yesterday's Wednesday 10 a.m. meeting is 11680, 11,680. That would be for the 19th of July. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that share ID number is 11682, 11,682, and that would be for Thursday. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie F. to read the 12 steps. Stephanie, good morning. Star one, Stephanie, maybe on your own phone.
Good morning, can I be heard?
You can now.
Fabulous, thank you. My name is Stephanie F., and I'm a compulsive overeater from Westminster, Colorado, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie F. I will now ask Valerie B. to please read the 12 traditions. Valerie B.
Okay.
Star one. Oh, there you are.
The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. My glasses are falling off, I'm sorry. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting groups, other groups, or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Valerie B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Single as a purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study in the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 85, and our focus is on paragraph 1 only today. Paragraph 1, it starts with, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action, and ends with, it is the proper use of the will. And I will ask Marie J. to read that paragraph and comment to open us up this morning. Good morning. Marie J.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Can you hear me, Melanie?
I can, loud and clear.
Okay, great. Thank you. Hi, this is Marie J., and I am recovered in Colorado. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Oh, man, I could talk on any one of these single lines for an hour. So I'm just going to choose resting on my laurels. You know, I rested on my laurels. I did this and I relapsed my first and second time through the steps. And today I get a lot of outreach calls about relapse. So I know that this is a really important instruction in the book. Resting on my laurels is going to lead me to trouble. And, you know, when I got recovery, I thought I was done. I had arrived, just like Bill. I had arrived. And I didn't finish the hardest amends that I had to do. So I did some of the amends, the low-hanging fruit, and then I didn't continue to take inventory of my behaviors with a watchful eye for my character defects. You know, I felt great and I had what I had come for, because all I had come for was a 90-pound weight loss. And I got that, and so I rested on my laurels and I failed to stay in conscious contact with higher power, and I didn't sponsor and I didn't carry the message. And it really didn't take me very long, a couple months, to gain 35 pounds back, even though I wasn't eating from my red list. This disease is cunning and baffling. I was eating clean food, but my behavior around food and volume was compulsive, and I didn't weigh myself to keep myself honest. So it was only a few months before I gained weight, and even then I couldn't admit that I had relapsed because I was eating not on my red list. That's not my program. I have to stay connected to this power that is not me. I have so much gratitude for my relapse because it brought me out of playing God and it brought me out of my self-will and self-reliance. I don't call the shots now. I don't run the show. If I do get into that, because I'm human and I want to still take control, that will lead to disease. That is my diseased mind, and it will lead to compulsive behaviors, and it's misery. So today and every day, I stay in this conscious contact with higher power. I try not to think about what God is. I let go of my preconceived notions about God. I don't put God in a box with limitations and definitions, because that's just me in charge. I just allow God in, allow God to permeate my being. And these are the thoughts that go with me constantly all day. God, how do I serve the will of you, the will of love for mankind every day? How do I carry this message in my daily life, in my work, in my family, with my clients, with my fellows? And then I'm complete. My life is full of love and joy and freedom. It's freedom. And I don't have the anxiety of being in control. So these are the thoughts that have to go with us constantly, bringing God in every day. Exercising our willpower along this condition of we get a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Thanks, I pass.
Thanks, Marie J. Page 85 in the big book, folks, we're on paragraph 1 only making our comments. Who would like to comment?
Nancy T.
Nope. Melissa C.
Lisa J. R.
Lisa
J. R. And I heard somebody S, and then I think I heard Sherry KB. Is that true?
Sunny yes. S, like it's sunny outside.
Gotcha, Sunny. Thank you so much. That's what I'm going to start with. Lynn, I'll catch you next round. Thanks so much.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 6 this morning. Nancy T, Melissa C, Richard B, Lisa JR, Sunny S, and Sherry KB. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, Visionaries. This is Nancy, recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. So grateful to be in this room with you this morning, and so grateful for this paragraph because I actually can read it and read it the way it's written today and not the way that Nancy perceives it. And I say that because so many years I worked steps 1 through 9, and I can tell you that I did it to the best of my ability and thoroughly. But then this thing that it warns us about in this very paragraph is what I did. I rested on my laurels. I had that character defect of complacency. And, I feel better. I'm starting to lose weight. I'm abstinent. All is good in the world. And, you know, that doesn't apply to me because I still was looking for the door number 3. I was still looking for Nancy's way, and it never, ever worked. But somehow in my diseased brain, I had convinced myself that this time it would. This time was going to be different. And, I was told one of my very first times getting into the big book that my very first sponsor ever told me, watch for the musts. You know, there's a lot of musts in the big book and you need to really pay attention to those. And there's a big one right here in this one. And I must take this attitude into my day. I don't have the big book in front of me. I can't quote it word for word, but you know, the must I'm talking about, it stands out there. It might as well be in bold letters. What I have found this time, I don't know what it was about this last relapse that gifted me with a gift of desperation, but I was desperate. I grabbed a hold of a sponsor. I said, please help me. I'm not sure it'll work, but I'm willing to give it a try. And I did it exactly as it's written in the big book. And when I got to step 10, I ran into it. And when I got to step 11, I ran into it. And step 12, I'm there. I know that I have to do these things. It's a must. It maintains my spiritual maintenance. But I can tell you what I have today is an amazing relationship with God. Thank you so much. I used to pray all the time. show me all these people talk about this wonderful thing, and I just want to experience that and just show me how. And he must laugh because he was showing me how all the time. Every time I listened to these meetings, he was showing me how. But I was still trying to do it Nancy's way. But I finally surrendered 100%. I don't care. Tell me what to do. I'm going to follow the directions. And today I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I love working with others. I cherish my time in the morning and my time in the evening and my pauses throughout the day with God. I watch for those character defects, and when they pop up, I take action. I cannot tell you how grateful I am that I was gifted with the gift of desperation and that I'm willing to follow the directions for my marching orders every single day, as it tells me in this paragraph. With that, I'll pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks, Nancy T. Melissa C., you're next, and then Richard, you'll come after Melissa.
Hi, good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, like one of the greatest gifts I got was that this time when I, you know, came upon OA and decided that I made a decision that I was going to do this, the great gift that I got was that my weight had reached a level that I could not lose all of it before I got to the 10th step. And, you know, and so when I work with new people, it sounds awful, but my hope secretly is often is that they don't reach their physical goal before they get here, because every time that happened for me, I never proceeded. I was like, I got this. I don't need to go on. And so for me, having a little bit of that physical, you know, those symptoms were still looming large when I got here. I still wanted, you know, the vanity in me, I still knew I needed to press on because physically I wasn't where I wanted to be yet. And so that was a real gift, you know. I have there's two things here. One, it talks about willpower, and this is good use of the will, and as opposed to using willpower to battle the food, you know. And then there's the other thing here talking about that alcohol or food for us is a subtle foe, you know. It's like a sneaky, quiet enemy. And like in the paragraph before, we were told that we're not fighting anything anymore. So it's like, well, which is it? Is it an enemy? Am I fighting? Am I not fighting? What am I using willpower on? Am I not using willpower on? And, you know, no matter what, I am a compulsive overeater. And so food will forever be something that I must treat with a seriousness. I have an allergy. It's a severe allergy. And so, yeah, and it's subtle. You know, I'm not, when things are out of sorts, it's not going to be, you know, the cupcake that I'm going to get, because that's far too, like, blatant. That's so clear. But it's an extra vegetable, you know. It's a sloppy measuring. You know, for those of us with this addiction, that's the subtleness of it. And, you know, I was at an event over the weekend, and I was sitting next to a family member, and she was like, God, I wish I had your willpower. You know, because she looked at my plate, and I'm not eating what they're eating. And, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, she doesn't know what I'm really using willpower on these days. The willpower that I'm using at that event is not on the food. It's that I can be other-centered, that I'm not focused on getting my needs met at that event, but others. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Richard B., you're next, then Lisa J.R.
Thank you, Melanie. Hi, everybody. My name's Richard B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Ireland. And boy, am I glad to be here today. I didn't think I was going to make it after being in hospital this morning, but I'm here. I have landed, as Bill said. And that was the problem with me. I have landed. It was like I had worked the steps thoroughly, step 1 to 9, and I had landed. The show was over. I'd taken my bow. The curtain came down. And screw steps 10 and 11. I was doing step 12. Oh, yeah, because that was another chance for being a star. But so often it led me into relapse, many, many relapses that I could not count. And I suppose what that did for me was it brought me to the final house on the block. And the final house on the block for me, the final silver bullet was the big book. And I'm grateful that was the final silver bullet, because previously my silver bullets lay in whichever piece of OA literature would be released next, thinking that I was going to find recovery in that one, and then the next one, and the Lifeline magazine. And I don't mean to knock the OA literature, but just for me, it wasn't enough, because I am a hardcore compulsive overeater, and I considered myself a hopeless case. But so easy it is to rest on my laurels. The curtain would come down, the cruise control would be on the car. But with my car, if I change gear during cruise control, so if life throws me a curveball, it knocks off the cruise control, and I wasn't there with my foot back on the gas again. So I really needed to practice that willpower, that self-will, where it says that we can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish, regarding and only regarding working a spiritual program and working that as hard as I can. Because I did not want to end up back in the food with my head down in the toilet because I had filled my stomach up so much and I couldn't keep it down anymore. I didn't want to end up back in the chewing and the spitting food in order to to lose weight. I didn't want to end up back in the over-exercising. I didn't want to end up back in the binging. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard B. Next is Lisa J.R., then Sunny S.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, greatly recovered for this 24 hours. I have to remember, I have to stay in the bookends every single day, 1, 2, and 3, 10, 11, 12. I got to remind myself that, nothing is going to hinder a fully surrendered heart, the trust in God, because nothing can hinder my God. I have to ruminate on that before I get up or I get into self-will. When I came in the program, a mule and, a donkey, better yet, I hung around and did half measures and languished, in the disease. And I listened to a lot of you people that had real good recovery, and I had, I got shades of abstinence osmosis from all of y'all, but I really didn't surrender, and, I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired and surrendered, but the mule is always lurking under the surface in me. So I love what it says when we're headed for trouble if we rest on our laurels. That's a warning to me. That's a warning, and I have to keep those warnings. I made a little card, and that's one of the warnings, page 85, that I'm headed for trouble if I rest on my laurels. And I have to think just on page 82, we're unthinking when we say sobriety is not enough. And, 78, don't face your creditors, you're going to drink. 72, if we skip and avoid this work, and turn to easier methods, we'll invariably get drunk. 70, if we continue to harm others, we are quite sure we will die. 66, resentment is infinitely grave. It will kill me. It shuts me off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol will return and I will die. 62, we must be rid of selfishness or it will kill us. And 14, if we fail to enlarge our spiritual life, we won't survive the trials and low spots ahead. So I got to keep these in front of me because I forget. I forget every day that the hot stove will burn me. I think I can find a way to get around it. And it's so important to keep this, we're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. It's like that Nile crocodile that stays submerged, for 3 hours waiting for some wayward wildebeest or gazelle to come in and it's going to grab him and drown him. That's how my disease is, and I have to remember it every single day. Or I'll start getting into self-will and live in 10, 11, and 12. And I thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Sunny S., you're up next. Sure, KB, you'll be after.
Hi, this is Sonia. Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. This is an amazing paragraph. I know that I can completely relate in my experience. I know that when I finished the 12 steps, you know, I was looking at the weight. I had lost 50 pounds. I was feeling good. And that exactly happened. I mean, I started resting on my laurels. And it's amazing, you know, like this program is really, it's a program of action. You know, and what happened started to happen is I was questioning when my relationships were not working, or, you know, I started thinking about substances, not even like food substances, but thinking about, oh, what if I do alcohol? What if I do drugs? What if I, you know, all of these what ifs. And I started to communicate this to my sponsor, and she was like, you know, you got to start working with others. And it suddenly started clicking for me. You know, I can go so into victim. You know, like life just starts happening to me. I stop being in touch with my higher power, stop surrendering, I start resisting. And, you know, by taking action, by doing that, by carrying the message, I'm going from a place of reaction to action. And, you know, what it says here, like, we are not cured. We're not cured of this disease just because we're recovered. I mean, this disease is progressive. And what my experience is that, you know, any kind of like resting on my laurels or pause or anything, I mean, it's there to creep me back in. So I'm really blessed by this program, and this paragraph just speaks to me this morning. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sunny S. Sherry KB. And then we'll take some more names.
Good morning,
Hi, Sherry.
Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Melanie. And everybody on the line, and this is a paragraph. It's one of my favorite paragraphs in the book. You know, it just, there's so much here. Where do I begin? Okay, so what jumps out at me is the first thing it says, that I can't rest up on my spiritual program of action, so, and rest on my laurels. So it's telling me that every day I have to do this work. What does that include? That includes living in 10, 11, 12. That includes leaving the food down. That means turning my will and my life over to the care of my higher power, not only in the morning but all throughout the day. That's what, you know, 10 and 11 are about. And 12 and carrying the message and being useful to others and doing the work. This is also, if I don't do this, I'm headed for trouble. And because compulsive overeating for me is a subtle foe, which means it's an enemy. It wants to injure me. It's waiting. It's lying in wait for me. We're not cured of alcoholism. I'm recovered, but I'm not cured. That's why I have to do this work daily. And it is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, which means my direct relationship with my higher power and living in the principles of this program. And every day is a day I must carry the message of God's will into all my activities. And it says all my activities, everything, everywhere I go, every what I do. I can tell you this, the minute things aren't going well for me, usually it's because I'm trying to run the Sherry Show. And I become very aware of that, especially if I haven't noticed it by the end of the day when I'm in step 11. It'll say, your day wasn't well? I guess you were running the Sherry Show again. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. That's the 10-step prayer. These thoughts must go with me constantly. And this is the last thing that really gets me. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. So it's telling me I have free will. I have willpower. I can do this as long as I line it up with my higher power's will. If not, I'm in trouble. And everything else that's giving me the warning, that's what will happen to me if I don't line my will up with my higher power's will. I'm in trouble, and I'm back in the Sherry Show, and then next thing you know, the food's the last thing to go, and then I'll be face down on the food. Thank you so much, and thank God for this program that I passed.
Thanks, Sherry KB. If you want to track along, we're on page 85, paragraph 1, chapter into action in the big book. I'm going to open up the lines to see if there are any available folks that are interested in sharing.
Julie M.
Kathleen
K. Okay, I got Julie M. And then I didn't hear anybody else.
Roger
C. Sandy M.
Did I hear Roz G?
O.
Yes, Robin P.
Did I hear Roz? No.
Kelly.
Did I hear Sandy?
Brandy.
Brandy. Okay, let's go with Brandy. And I did hear Wendy, and I did hear Kelly. And I have space for one more.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen. I probably heard you way up above, but I erased. Okay, so this is what I have. I have Lynn S., Julie M., and I have what I think is Roz G., but it might be Robin B. And we'll see about that. Then I have Brandy, and I have Wendy, and Kelly, and Kathleen. Hey, good morning,
Lynn. I'm listening today, Melanie. I'm listening today. Thank you.
Okay, great. That was Robin. Robin. Thanks so much, Roz.
It's Robin P.
Gotcha. 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 Thank you so much. Okay, we got Lynn S.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. This paragraph is really speaking to me today, both literally and figuratively, talking about resting on our laurels. And that really hit me because for the last 5 weeks now, today actually, I have been resting on my butt because I can't walk. I had surgery, and part of the recovery is you don't walk for 6 weeks. And aside from going stir crazy, it's really hit me how debilitating this has been mentally for me. And thinking of all the things I was going to do and not do program-wise. And it really just hit me. It resonated in my heart, especially when it talks about, you know, he failed to enlarge, like we didn't enlarge the spiritual part of our program. And it's easy to let up on the spiritual part. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I'm praying and meditating. I've got my 3 or 4 books there, and I do that every single morning. But that's not what it says in the big book. On page 14, it says, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life, how? Through work and self-sacrifice for others. And that's one thing I'm not doing. And it just hit me so hard this morning. And I think, well, I'm not isolating. I'm just recovering. No, Lynn, you're isolating. You're not calling new people. You're not reaching out to sponsees. You're using this physical recovery time almost as an excuse to hibernate. And it just occurred to me today that that's what's happening. I am so grateful that we read this because really, you know, it is a subtle foe. This disease is a subtle foe. And for me to maintain my spiritual condition, I must carry the vision of God's will into all my activities. And I need to pick some activities and get some activities. And I can't do that myself. It's going to God again and saying, God, what can I do for you today? So I am so glad we read this. When I was listening this morning, it really shook me to my core. And I'm glad I had the opportunity to share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn S. Julie M., you're next, and Robin, you'll be after, after Julie.
Hi, good morning. This is Julie M., recovered in Colorado. The line that really stands out for me today is where it says, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. And that was so hard for me to remember to do early in recovery and for years into recovery. And I had a sponsor that, you know, if I'd be struggling with a decision or something, she would always say, what is in line with what your higher power wants for you? And, you know, I used to have to write HP on my hand to remember to go to God with difficulties. I would tie a ribbon around my finger to remember, oh yeah, that's where I need to go, because it was the last place I ever went. It was not any part of my reality before program and before really working the steps. And so now, you know, whether it's a one-point question, like should I go to the store before or after I get gas, or like a 10-point question, should I leave my husband or should I stay? I go to God with it and I ask, you know, what is your vision for me? Please show me the way. And that for me when I ask that question, I don't always get the answer immediately, but when I'm quiet enough, it comes to me over time. And it's just remembering to ask and remembering to go there has been building a muscle. And now it's one that I use without thinking. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie M. Robin P. Then Brandy will come after Robin.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. This is Robin P. in Los Angeles. And thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and for everybody sharing. Wow. So I love this meeting. Oh, my goodness. I'm so grateful to be recovered today. And, you know, I so appreciate everything I've heard about resting on our laurels. And it's so much easier for me to see it in others, you know, when I have a sponsee or something who refuses to sponsor other people and that kind of thing. And, you know, and then I get a resentment about that and I get to go work my program. So, you know, it's so important that I live in 10, 11, and 12 today because I just can't afford it. You know, I know better. I know that I can't just, no one in, from what I've learned, stagnates. Like you can't just freeze frame and hold. You know, it's either we grow or we regress. And so, and I always know that either I grow up or I grow out, and that's my choice. And so I get to keep growing up spiritually, you know, and closer to God. And I feel so, it's such a great reminder because anytime I'm having a resentment in my head or a fear is my opportunity to surrender, to turn it over to my sponsor and God, and then go help someone else to live in 10, 11, and 12. And if I don't stay vigilant, you know, it says it in the big book that we must stay vigilantly in faith 24/7 or we perish. And it's not like, oh, it's a good idea. It's we must. And so, I know what it's like to perish. I lived so much of my life in the disease where I was dead spiritually and emotionally. And I know what it's like to recover and feel that joy of spiritual growth. And there's no contest. So if I want what this program has on a daily basis, I get to live in my recovery and in these steps. And that's my choice to be honest, open, and willing. That's how I recover and stay recovered. And thank you so much, everybody. God bless you all in your recoveries. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Brandy M., then Wendy will be after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Can I be heard?
You can.
It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Edmonton, Canada. If you can time me, that would be great. I like this paragraph. I rested on my laurels for a long time, and I would do the steps and then think that I didn't need to sponsor and think that I didn't need to help others. And, you know, and then it was just constant relapsing. And I feel like today we just got some really hard news that my husband has cancer. And it would be so easy at this point to start resting on my laurels and give up my sponsees. And, you know, I have small children and I'm thinking, you know, I was at one point I was trying to think my way out of this. And then I just said, God, I surrender this to you. Whatever it is, you know, help me be a conduit of your will and, you know, help me be of service to my husband, but also keep of service to other OA members. Because if I don't be of service and if I'm not talking to the still suffering, I forget where I went, where I was, and then I can go back to eating. What keeps me clean is carrying this message. And so no matter what's going on in my life, it still needs to be my part of my priority. I just need to express so much gratitude for the people and just the fact that I found vision in January. And, you know, it's been 6 months of really good entire abstinence and working the program. And God was preparing me. God was preparing me for this day. And God had me in his hands, and I can see every step of the way where he was guiding me and showing me to be prepared for what was to come. You know, if I would have got this news 6 months ago, it would have been the Brandy show, and it would have been all about me and feel sorry for me and this is what's happening to my life. And today it's like, what does my husband need? What do others need? I don't need to worry about what Brandy needs at this point, because God's going to give me all that. Like, I have total faith and reliance. And, you know, am I sad? Yes. But that's okay. I'm human. I'm going to have emotions. But at the end of the day, food has not even been on my radar. And I'm so grateful for that. That, you know, I mean, my automatic reaction when emotions come up, I want to pick up and eat. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And nothing happens in God's world by a mistake. And so I'm supposed to be right where I am, and so grateful for this program and so grateful for the people on the line who've supported me and loved me and, you know, got me to where I am today with my higher power. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy M. Wendy M., you're next. Kelly's after you.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado, and grateful to be on this line, grateful to have this program, grateful to you, Melanie, for your service and everybody else. So what I know about this spiritual program of action is that the more I do it, the more I'm going to do it. The less I do it, the less I'm going to do it. And interestingly enough, when I do it, when I'm working it, I need it even more, right? Because it's working for me, you know, the spiritual program of action works. And that's so central, you know. I have a design for living. I love the idea that, you know, if you're diabetic, you need insulin. And if you, if you're compulsive overeater and you're in vision for you. And so anyways, insulin can help, but it's not a design for living, right? So what I do every day is like putting gas in my car, right? I can't go on fumes. And if I try to go on fumes, I absolutely will be running the show, and it will be miserable for me and probably everyone around me, you know? So what I know is I have to put that gas in my car, which means it's a balance of 10, 11, and 12 every single day. And the other day, somebody called me and she said, can you sponsor me? And my first thought is like, I've got too many sponsees. My second thought is, thank you, God, for bringing this woman to me, because I need to be back in the book. So part of that, you know, conditioning is not just the maintenance with my sponsees who are all, you know, recovered, but I got to be in the book again. I got to be in the book. Thank you, God, you know, for that. And the other thing I do is, you know, when something's arrived. So this morning I woke up with fear. And I write a Dear God letter every morning before I meditate and pray. And when I wrote to God this morning, I said, you've got my attention. Let's go. Let's do this thing. Let's take on this fear. What is it about? And when I go to God, every time God comes to me. And God gave me information today that was so incredibly helpful and valuable and beautiful and so revealing, right? Like, I don't know what God's will is, but God knows. And all I have to do is sit there and write and say, Dear God, what is your will? And tell me about this fear, because I don't know what to do with it. And I can't do anything with it. I need to go to you every time. So I get God every single time I do 10, 11, and 12. I get to God. And I get unblocked, and then I get free, and then I have choices. And when I'm free and have choices, the likelihood of me being of service to other people is immense. It's immense. You know, and I thank my sponsees for calling me every day. I thank them. Thank you, God, for getting Wendy out of self again and useful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. Kelly S., you're next, and then comes Kathleen O.
Thank you, Melanie, for your service. It's Kelly S. Kelly with an EY, S in Oklahoma. People have a hard time finding me sometimes. Anyway, oh my gosh, this is an amazing paragraph, like everybody else has already shared. And I agree with the first reader. Where do you start? So you guys know my story. I've been around for 30-something years, 3.5 years of recovered abstinence. Finally, thank you, God, and the process of this program in 12 steps. My disease wants me to rest on my laurels, you know, and to be really honest with you guys, I never even got to this place. You know, I never got through. I didn't understand the whole idea of working the steps, which I know sounds crazy, but I didn't follow the instructions in the book. So But I do know that I would lose my weight, as other people shared, and, you know, work the steps till I got some reprieve, and then I rested on my laurels. And what is so important to me in that paragraph is it says, you know, that, you know, we enlarge our spiritual life through work. Well, what it says is maintenance of our spiritual condition. The word maintenance is the word that I tend to not see, maintenance, you know. So what do I have to do to maintain anything? I have to do my daily work, because my disease is if I'm either going to be in my disease or I'm going to be recovery. There's no third door for me, right? And so one of the things that there's always new sentences put in the book. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. So, you know, that's why, you know, the last person shared, I have to stay in this book, because there's new sentences every day. And so in Bill's story, he talks about that one of the most important thing is when he'd find himself in depression or, you know, whatever it was, that he had to get into service and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice with others. When did that sentence get put in there? You know, because like others have shared, I thought it meant that we had to, you know, do more prayer and meditation, which is important and part of my daily work. Every day I have time for prayer and meditation, because if not, I'm trying to do it alone. But however, it's not going to be like adding more time to that or, you know, adding more prayer, which again is good. But Bill says, through work and self-sacrifice with others. And I have to remember, too, it's about my whole life in all areas, it says, to carry this message in all areas. So am I living in the bedevilments? You know, we've shared in other meetings, you know, it's like the bedevilments line up with the promises. So if I say I'm abstinent, I'm recovered, and I'm kicking the dog and slapping my kids and yelling at my spouse, you know, for me, that's not a recovered spiritual state, right? So I'm carrying this message in all areas. I'm being a message of hope and recovery to everybody. And it's only through this process. It's only by staying in fit spiritual condition, working with others in the program, you know, carrying the message, showing people, you know, as we hear on other meetings, recover, 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 because I have people in my family that, you know, of course, I'm saying they need the program. But you know what? I can just be an example of God's love. And so, so appreciative today that I'm not resting my laurels and I'm carrying this message in all areas of my fair. Thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly S. Kathleen O., your turn. You'll probably take us to the end.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much and great meeting this morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And resting on our laurels, like someone previously said, this is a big warning, big warning. Resting on our laurels is being satisfied with one's success and feeling further effort is not necessary. And this explains why we're abstinent and then we relapse. It's like, how do we relapse when we're abstinent? We're eating fine, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in the food, and we relapse. So this warning, it's like the crossing guard come down. The crossing guards come down, and the red lights flash, and the bells ring, and the train's coming in. It's tooting its loud horn, and resting on our laurels is, I'm going to walk on those tracks. I'm not going to know I walk on the tracks. I'm not going to even see the train coming until I look down, and my limbs are missing. And this is so important. The reason, I mean, we have this mental obsession. So if we're not working this and putting effort into it, I have to put effort into this every day. If I don't put the effort in, I'm going to walk on those train tracks and not even see the train coming. I've done it before. I know it happens. And it all is because I was resting on my laurels, stopped putting in the effort to do the work on a daily basis, living these steps, practice these principles, and working with others. And you know, the return on the investment is so worth it. And today I can see the train coming and stay off the tracks day at a time. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, thank you very much. You know, I'll just take this last minute, if anyone doesn't mind, and just tell you what goes on at Melanie's house in this regard. We have all focused on that line that talks about resting on our laurels. And I have to ask myself the question, Melanie, what about when I'm in those bad feelings or that snarky thinking? What about when I just let those things pass and say, oh, these will pass and it's not a big deal anymore? What about you know, those moments of an idea that I had that I didn't run past somebody. What is it? How am I checking those things out against resting on my laurels? I know when things are great and going well, the tendency to become self-reliant. I know that one. The ones that are sneakier for Melanie are the ones that talk about, you know, I just had that little off day today. Just, you know, it's not a big deal. Everybody has it. It's just an off day today. Well, I found that was dangerous for me. And those are the same ones that I take to my 10 step and with my, to my sponsor to kind of work those things out. Is she seeing something that I didn't see, sensing something that I'm not really saying out loud, kind of looking at the meat of that sort of deal. I learned those kinds of things the hard way, that I don't get away with anything, that I am an alcoholic, and I'll just use that term, 100% with alcoholism, 100% of the time, which what does that mean? It resides in my brain 100% of the time. And my old philosophy, old way of thinking is to look at something in a negative light before I get a chance to turn to the spiritual light, and I cannot let those things go either. That my, I feel like my role is to address those things so it doesn't stay in my head and replace it with what is helpful and then take it to God for the transformation. And so I just thought maybe that would be helpful for somebody, that what about those moments where I'm not really resting on my laurels, but things are, you know, kind of going on here. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share. And we have that last minute, so I'll burnt up there. So thank you for everyone that shared today on the line, especially the team that made this meeting possible. And I'd like to ask now if Liz T. would please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Liz T., please. Star 1, Liz T.? If you're not here, if I don't catch you off guard, then would Marilyn
Keefe
be? Oh, you are.
I'm here.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
I was having trouble unmuting.
Okay.
All right. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.